Welcome back, Joe Torti Show. 97.5 The Fanatic, 7 o'clock hour, is brought to you by Club Risque, Delaware Valley's premier gentlemen's club with three locations, Philly, Bristol, and Northeast Philadelphia. For more information, visit clubrisque.com. Okay, we've already talked about the merits or lack thereof of having someone, maybe your best player, your best hitters, start at the top of the lineup every single inning. Tyler Zuli does not like that. Hates it. He'll also hate this one, which is to shorten the game to 2 hours long for television purposes by eliminating the last three innings of the game, which, you know, obviously rewards quality starts for pitchers, cuts down on the lesser members of the bullpen making appearances, and that sort of thing. I already know that Tyler doesn't like this.
So I'm not going to say I hate it.
Really?
Because I think that it's just a misguided placement of what you're getting rid of. The time frame is stupid. Baseball is an untimed game. The innings, however, I would consider. I would consider dropping it to 7 innings.
Well, so the purpose is they've timed it out so that on average it's like 2 hours if you do 6 innings. So the purpose is to play a game at 7 and a game at 9. So to give you double baseball action.
Yeah, I get that,
situation.
And I know that TV loves that. They're going to be able to sell ad revenue. I understand all that. I just don't know if I can be okay with a game that is now all of a sudden a timed event. Where so what is what's the rule behind it? Is it the finish the last of the inning? Like, let's say they're in the top of the sixth when they hit the 2 hour mark. Do they get to play the bottom of the sixth?
Okay, yeah, of course.
I'm not for a timed game.
Okay.
I think it forces teams to play more quickly.
Okay.
I am for the elimination of the eighth and the ninth inning. So to knock it down to 7 innings, I am okay with that.
So I love that too. And maybe this is a cop out reason. I think it would make a lot more teams competitive. A lot more, and here's why. I think that there are obvious advantages to having Clayton Kershaw and like Zach Greinke or whoever the guys are that you're confident in being able to go 7 innings, right? Like, obviously there are lots of those teams that have those guys and things like that. The reason that it's competitive is because that used to be like you've got to save your bullpen and have your starting pitchers make quality starts and things like that. However, it does change team building strategy a little bit if there's only a 7-inning game, because you can just build an elite level bullpen and have a starter who is not nearly as good as those guys. You're only counting on that starter to go 3 or 4 innings, and then you can survive by having your really good bullpen in there to finish out the game. So I think that there are, if you're not able to land one of those top flight starting pitchers, then you have the ability instead to build your team a different way and invest in the bullpen. I think that you can see more teams be competitive. Do you think that that is a possibility?
Yeah, I think so. So what you're saying is almost go bullpen day most days.
Right. If you don't have one of these horses that can go all the time. You know, you have Vince Velasquez go his 4 innings, and then your bullpen takes over, and, you know, vice versa, you keep going.
Quite honestly, too, at that point, a Vince Velasquez becomes almost more valuable to
exactly.
a team. Where you could have 2 Vince Velasquezes, they could start 1 game.
Right. To handle the whole game.
And that seems okay with me.
Okay.
I don't want to put value on Vince Velasquez. I want Vince Velasquez to go away and never come back.
But that's how
you keep them around. Sure.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. I'm okay with shortening the game, but not in time in terms of how many innings.
Gotcha. Okay. So how about this one, which I think that you will like. People don't want to wait 3 to 5 years to see prospects on a major league field. Why not allow each major league team to carry an elite practice squad that features 25 of the organization's best prospects? During the day, These teams could compete against each other and fill programming time on MLB Network. At night, five of those 25 could be in uniform and eligible to participate in a major league game, similar to what the NBA does with its two-way contracts. You know, and then they talk, he talks about MLB.com could create fantasy baseball competition that's only those elite prospects players and things like that. Or they could sell a package that's only those elite prospects day games or whatever. What do you think of having kind of like a practice squad that can travel with the team and the elite prospects can play on these Major League Baseball games?
So this becomes almost like a academy that the European soccer teams use, where it's younger players. I think I'm okay with that, and especially if it gives me more games. I'm not going to pay to watch them practice.
Right.
I will, however, pay to watch them play other prospect teams. The problem is going to be, the only issue that I see with that becomes when, if one of the five guys that you carry on your, you know, your regular roster is a pitcher who happens to throw for the prospect team that day, he's useless.
Right.
And I don't mean that to be, I don't mean that meanly or snidely. I mean that practically. He's useless to your major league team if he's throwing five or six innings for the practice team.
For sure. I would think that in that scenario, then you would simply be able to designate another player from the 25 to be it. Like, I don't think that your five, your mega elite five, would have to be set in stone all the time. Like that, you know, on a night-by-night basis, you can carry your different fives. Like, everyone on the 25 would be eligible to be on the roster.
Okay. So the only thing then would be, do you have to announce your five beforehand?
I would think so.
Okay.
In the interest of fairness. Right.
So that's what I mean is, like, can you slide a guy on there?
All sneaky-like.
Yeah. So, you know, hey, by the way, slated to start tonight is Vince Velasquez. Psych, it's Spencer Howard. You know what I mean?
Right.
And give a team no time to prepare for it.
Or it's like the Cardinals, all five of the guys that they have are like a left-handed submarine pitcher.
They're all in the top 15 right. of prospects? Yeah,
exactly. It's like, come on, man. Okay. So I thought that you might like that one.
Yeah, I'm okay on it. All Speaking right. of the Cardinals, by the way,
yeah,
I don't like to lie to people. And I like to be transparent.
There are lots of people that love to lie to people.
I am so, so jealous of the Cardinals organization. It's disgusting.
It's baseball heaven, as Scott Rolen put
it. He's correct.
And he was absolutely right. Yeah, I've been ever since I saw Michael Wacha, and I was like, "Who in the hell is Michael Wacha?" And he's mowing down everybody in the playoffs. If you didn't know before then, that was like kind of the wake up call that the Cardinals, everything that they touch just turns to gold, man. Absolutely, and it never stops. 610-632-0975, your phone number to join the conversation. You can also reach out on Twitter as well, at Joe Torti, at 97.5 The Fanatic, and at Tyler Zuli.
Just wait for Daniel Ponce de Leon to be the guy this year.
Yeah, you think so?
That's just, it just, does it not sound like a guy that's going to be a Cardinals? Like, he sounds like he should be off exploring.
Yes.
But he's going to be a 20-game winner somehow.
Absolutely right, yeah. As their, like, fifth starter. Unreal. So I saw this earlier, wanted to share it, but it just got posted on 97.5 The Fanatic's Twitter account. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver said last night with Ernie Johnson on TNT that the league is not going to make any decisions on the state of its season this month. So the NBA was like the first league to be suspended since March 11th because of the coronavirus pandemic. And he just said that there are too many unknowns for it to be wise to take definitive action at this stage. You know, Adam Silver saying, I actually know less in a way than I did when we first said that we were going to shut down, you know, for 30 days. And listening to public health experts and people that are advising us the virus is maybe moving faster and therefore it may peak earlier. What that means in terms of our ability to come back at some point in late spring or summer is still unknown to me. And I think that this is a good way of looking at it. You know, rolling with the punches, I think, and being adaptable and being open to change seems to be the way that we're going to be able to process and handle and get through everything that's kind of going on. Adam Silver kind of advocating for that at this point. And knowing that the longer that we wait, the more likely it is that we'll have more information, and that perhaps solutions and big time help could be on the horizon as well. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. Dana White, I thought the same thing. Dana White securing this private island for fights for the UFC. That sounds exactly like Mortal Kombat. I thought the exact same thing as everybody else is saying, like the movie, Mortal Kombat the movie. Did you see that, Tyler? It was not a...
it's a horrible movie.
Yeah, not a cinematic masterpiece. Not at all. I don't think the UFC fighting on this private island would go all that much better than the movie. But, once again, that's another one who is... Yes, oh my gosh. This is the best thing to come out of it, though. This thing still slaps. Here. Yes, of course. Absolutely. It's another one who's is trying to make something happen, another small baby step. Tyler, what do you think about the island proposal? Because this, where I'm concerned, like, either this is going to... Like, we talk about taking baby steps. This is like literally stepping a toe forward. If it's getting people to an island and having everybody stay there and pretty much having, like, I don't know how it would work. Do you just have one mega event there so that you minimize the amount of time that everyone is there and just have all of your fights in, like, one shot and pitch it as, like, a mega event?
So in different octagons, or does this become like Royal Rumble?
No, like, well, hopefully it'd be like Royal Rumble, but I'm anticipating that it would become like an all-day affair where the first fight is at
9 a.m.
or something. Yeah, exactly. And you just, every fight that you were hoping to have lined up, you just roll through it. I wonder if this is going to happen. And like I said, this is the babiest of all baby steps if you're having everybody on an island except those who absolutely need to be there. Doesn't get very much more quarantine-y or socially distant than that.
Yeah, I think that this is probably okay.
Really?
Okay. I do to an extent. I have worry for, much like I have worry for the WWE wrestlers who participated in WrestleMania this weekend, I think that they're just, the worry is that they're in close contact, in close quarters. It's
gotcha.
It's an enclosed area, and they are right up on top of each other. That concerns me. Doing it away from the general public is probably the best step forward. I'm curious as to if the people that are against this happening, this private island happening, were they opposed to WrestleMania happening this weekend?
Yeah, worthwhile question. Because WrestleMania and the WWE have been putting on events without fans this whole time, pretty much. I would assume that the missing domino in there is testing. I am assuming that you're securing testing for everyone who would be involved there.
Right. So, and that is where my dilemma kicks in. Because I have a curiosity of, is it worth burning what we still think is a finite amount of tests, using a portion of them, however small it may be, to test for a sporting event?
Yeah,
is that fair to assume or to worry about that they would be, unless that we can come to the idea that there is a mass amount of tests to be handed out to the general population? Is it okay for me to worry that they're going to use a percentage of them on fighters just to put entertainment in front of us?
Well, so the question ultimately becomes, and you're driving at it, how rare is the test now, right? And how finite are they? I'm seeing this article, which was written today. A total of, and this is just from a Georgia lab that's trying to make testing available. Right now, it's up to 2,000 tests per day, which is a good step, but it's, you know, still a finite amount of tests, like you said, Tyler. Georgia, where this is, has conducted in total 33,713 tests. 92% nearly have been performed by these commercial labs. Brian Kemp, who's the governor, announced a partnership Monday with CVS Health to set up rapid drive-through testing sites that could process 1,000 tests a day and return positives in fewer than 5 minutes. So I think my answer, I guess, to that, Ty, is that we're slowly seeing the situation improve where these things are becoming less and less rare, which is natural. Like, when you see companies start to get more involved in it and more people called upon to start researching and producing these tests, naturally you're going to find better ways to do it, faster ways, cheaper ways, more efficient ways. It's just kind of the way that it works. And it seems like that's the step that we're starting to reach, where there are still a finite number of tests, but it seems to be getting better every day. So that's, I do think that that's going to be a possibility. Because I also look at it the other way, right? Where it is clearly you don't want to just give up tests for a sporting event, right? You don't want to just do that. But they are also humans. And in an ideal world, we're producing enough of these testing kits so that eventually everybody can be tested. Because I don't want to speak for you. My biggest concern with the whole thing is people who are asymptomatic passing it around, right? That kind of goes away if everybody is able to be tested. If like there's everyone, the test is available to everyone, and then like that fear kind of gets to go out the window if everybody knows whether or not they're positive. You know, like the ghost nature of the virus is like what's most concerning to me. So if there were more widespread testing and everybody got tested, then, you know, that would ease some of my fears. So, yes, they are UFC athletes, but they're also humans. It's also people that you're kind of checking off the list. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's fair. And again, it just comes back to the, if they are not, like you said, and the asymptomatic thing is the hardest part to get through. So it comes back to the, if they are not symptomatic, then is it worth running the test on, again, just to have entertainment? When I know that there are probably people that would need it more, those who have certainly come in contact with those who either have or have had it, and I think that they would need that testing significantly more than what these particular athletes would. I get that there's a fine line between athlete and human. I'm just not willing to cross the line to athlete first.
Fair enough. And I understanding that neither of us are public health experts, I appreciate you going with me on this, on hypotheticals and everything else. But it's a fascinating conversation for me, because my thinking has started to shift in that, like I just told you, I am most afraid of the asymptomatic people passing it around, right? I've started to think, like, if you're sick, you're probably going to get treatment and tested for this kind of thing anyway, right? And if you're around someone who is sick, you're going to take the precautions of self-quarantining for 2 weeks and things like that. I'm starting to wonder, and like I said, I'm not a public health expert. I want to know reasoning on this. So if you have thoughts or stats or anything like that, you can send them on Twitter, or I'm sure Tyler has thoughts on this as well. But like, I'm starting to wonder if more testing shouldn't just be done on the general public as opposed to sick people, instead of just assuming that sick people have the coronavirus, which I think that is a fair assumption to say. If we're assuming that all the asymptomatic people, you're supposed to be acting as though you do have it. I'm wondering, like, from a testing perspective, is that the best use of tests?
Probably. The question becomes, who gets it first?
Right.
Yeah, that exactly. That is way more of a hard decision to make than athlete slash human.
Right.
Now you're going human versus human, and this is way harder to dictate. That, to me, is something that I couldn't justify. Like, who gets it first?
Right, yeah. I mean, because there's reasons on both. Like, there's 100... That's kind of what I'm driving at here, is that if we are all supposed to act as though we have it and are asymptomatic, and that's why social distancing and not gathering and not playing sports and not being around sports and stuff like that, well, that's why all of that is necessary. That's the mystery. you know, the COVID-19 seems to, and there have been exceptions. Like Lance said, there's been a West Coast strain and an East Coast strain that's been slightly different. But, you know, the symptoms are kind of public knowledge at this point, with the dry cough and the fever and, you know, all that other kind of stuff, right? The things that you've been hearing about on TV, the things you've been reading about. Makes me think that, like, you know, that is an indicator already, minus the test. If healthy people are supposed to act like they have COVID, certainly people who have a fever and dry cough and everything else, certainly that's reasonable to expect that those people would be treated as though they have it as well. Man, that's interesting. I swear I did not think about that until I sat down in this chair, and it crossed my mind 5 minutes ago, that if that's what we're worried about, if the greatest fear for us is episode one, the Phantom Menace, as opposed to the menace that we, you know, can see with coughing and fever and everything else, that what we don't see, if that's most concerning, how do we dole out testing? Is it worthwhile to give out testing to people that are quote-unquote healthy or asymptomatic? I don't know. It's above my pay grade. It's super interesting. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. Going to keep things rolling here. We're on until 10 o'clock. Tyler Zuli is producing. I'm Joe Torti. Keep it locked right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Joe Torti on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back, Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. We're hanging out until, 10 o'clock. Plenty of stuff on the docket, of course. Tyler Zuli producing. I am Joe Torti. And, we're trying to work our way through this this coronavirus situation just the same as you are. It's been a very strange time. Unprecedented, people have been saying, literally meaning that there's no way to predict or advise or project the way that things are going to continue here, what the timelines are that we're looking at or anything like that. Kind of all in this together. So the question becomes, when it comes to sports, do you view sports as baby steps towards normalcy, crawling or walking before you run? Or are sports, the return of sports, is that something that should come kind of last? 610-632-0975. It's been an interesting discussion so far. I've really appreciated that. Let's go to Rich in Ridley Park next on The Fanatic. What's going on, Rich?
Hi, Joe. I was talking to Tyler. I explained to him that I've been following this since I was on my vacation at Christmas time. And, I'm not going to get any identity to politics or any of it because it's all about people at this point. But I think what everybody needs to look at it right now is the fact that places like Japan and Korea and Singapore that had this thing under control because they went right after it, They started letting loose the restrictions, and in the past week their infection rates have started to come back up. So, and as far as Governor Kemp goes down in Georgia, I wouldn't give him any roses because he's the same guy who opened the beaches last week down there, despite the fact that everybody in the world's saying stay at home.
Right, right.
I mean, look, on a daily basis, I'm going home from work now. I see the traffic that's on I-95. You know, until people decide to stay home, this thing is not going to go away. I mean, that cruise ship, where they had the first big infection, it lasted for 17 days on surfaces in that ship.
Right, yes.
Do I have the answers? Of course not. I'm not a biologist or a doctor or anything. I just think people need to stay at home, and sports really most probably should be the last thing that tries to come back, because if you're not going to have people there, I don't know, kind of loses it for me.
Well, Well, I definitely get that it's a kind of a neutered version for sure, and the roar of the crowd and everything like that plays into it. So I guess the question is, Rich, how long are you okay with, you know, kind of like hunkering down and social distancing and not seeing anybody and having everything on lockdown? Like, how long are you okay with that?
Well, to be honest with you, I and my wife, unfortunately, has been along this trip with me while I've been following this craziness. I told her our target date for normality is August 1st.
Well, okay, so August, that's in a couple of months and several months, but that's not 12 months. That's not 18 months where people are talking about that. That might be where a vaccine comes in. So,
well, yeah, absolutely. And that's the only thing in reality that is going to help us. Now, one thing I saw interesting, if you just give me a minute, this morning on the news I saw that someone was treated with the vaccine that was not successful against SARS, but took a local guy here out of the ventilator after 17 days when they treated him with that vaccine.
Interesting. I know that the University of Pittsburgh, like Pitt Med, is they feel really, really good about where they are on vaccine development as well.
I'm a Penn State fan, but go Pitt.
It's just one time, Rich.
Exactly, you know. So, but I thank you for letting me talk. I appreciate it. You guys have a great show, and stay safe and stay well.
Thank you, Rich. Same to you. Appreciate it. You and your family as well. Thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah, so, I mean, that's good news, right? The vaccine is important. I would also argue that treatments are important, you know, not necessarily preventing people from getting it, but like, what do you do after you are infected? Like, and I would say that the news on that, while anecdotally and not like widespread, that's also kind of been encouraging, you know, except for the person that ate fish tank cleaner, which, I mean, come on. But like, other than that, you know, the actual stuff that's been advised, hydrochloroquine and stuff like that, seems to be doing well in limited anecdotal cases. So, I mean, I think that it's a two-pronged approach.
I will tell you this. As a Penn Stater myself, I will not say that three-word phrase that they like to echo around the western part of Pennsylvania. But
H2P.
I will say this. I hope they win this one.
Yeah, well,
this is so much more than sports.
Just once. That's right.
Well, they can still miss 19-yard field goals down 7 with a minute and a half left. I don't care about that.
Well, yeah,
this one I hope they get right.
Oh, man. Yeah, that would be great. That'd be awesome. Do you think that a vaccine would need to be in place for you to feel comfortable, or would a treatment plan be okay with you? What do you think?
I'm not stepping foot back in a stadium until there's a true vaccine in place.
Okay.
You and I talked about this a couple of weeks ago,
yes.
Like the natural progression of things. I'm not going back to a sporting event. I'm not going back to a concert. You know, those two things are probably two of the most important things in my life.
Yes.
I won't do either until I know that this thing is firmly under control.
610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. You can also reach out on Twitter as well, at Joe Torti, at 97.5 The Fanatic. Yeah, we're trying to work our way through here when it comes to the vaccine, when it comes to the medicine. And by the way, if you know, it goes without saying, you've probably heard this a million times. If there is any kind of medical researcher or doctor or nurse or scientist or anything like that that is in your life, reach out to them and tell them that you appreciate them, because those are the people that are literally on the front lines against this thing. Tremendous stuff by everyone who's in that entire arena. And obviously, they're dealing with a ton right now in terms of volume. So, you know, if you can do something, get them a gift card or something, that'd be nice. Of course, we have a perfect opportunity for you to do that, as it were. Because as you've been hearing a ton here on the station, and for good reason, small businesses are the backbone of our local communities. So right now, they could use our help. And you could also do a two birds with one stone kind of situation here with what we were just talking about with 97.5 The Fanatic's Operation Shop Local. Our initiative is set up to encourage gift card purchases from your local business and highlight those offering home delivery or curbside pickup. business owners, go to 975thefanatic.com and list yours in our free directory. The Fanatic is promoting this for our listeners to review and patronize whenever possible. Operation Shop Local, because we are all in this together, from the Beasley Media Group and 975 The Fanatic. Yeah, so the premise would be, right, that you get a gift card to either a restaurant, business, whatever, and give it to one of those people in your lives. It's like a two birds, one stone kind of situation. So there you go. Cool stuff there. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. I'm getting deep into my NBA 2K20 league, by the way. Fantasy draft.
How you doing?
I picked fourth overall. I'm really happy with
it. All right, so you picked fourth overall.
I did, yeah.
Let me take a guess as to who you got.
Okay.
Going to be tougher than I think?
I think the draft order will surprise you. Maybe it won't.
Are you a guy that picks for the future, or are you a guy that picks to win right away?
I am a both guy.
Okay.
So I will fill out my my starting five with players based on my style that I think will give me the best chance to win every game.
Right.
But on the bench, I am more likely to go with potential and future development.
Okay. So the reason I ask is because I don't have 20, I have 19. So when you they have the ability to do an expansion team. And when I do the expansion draft, if I get the first pick, I always take Trae Young.
Okay.
Because I'm like a bomber from the outside. That's all I do is shoot threes in 2K.
Okay.
So the reason I ask is because I was trying to get a feel for how you played.
Yes.
With that assumption in mind, and knowing who I think probably should have gone in the top three, I will bet that you were unable to select LeBron James.
I had the opportunity.
Did you really?
And I did not take him.
Were you unable to select Kevin Durant?
No, I had that opportunity too.
You passed on him as well.
Yes.
All right. Well, then in that case, geez, did you take Luka at four?
Luka went one.
Did he really?
Yes. As he should.
Okay, so
Luka, 20 years old and a 96 rating.
Luka went number one.
As he should.
Okay. Then in that case,
and I would have taken him at four.
Let's take him off the board.
Yes.
This becomes a difficult because you had the choice of the two best players in the league, and Luka was gone.
Well, and you'd be surprised who else I didn't choose.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me ask,
players off the board.
Young guy or older veteran?
At number two or the guy that I took?
The guy you took.
I would qualify him as a veteran at this point.
Veteran. Yeah. Oh, at this point?
Yeah, at this point. Yeah.
Okay.
He's not old, but yeah.
Did you take Jason Tatum?
Oh, good guess. No. He's older than Tatum.
Okay, older than Tatum.
Yeah.
Younger than
LeBron.
Younger than LeBron, older than Tatum. How about Devin Booker?
Oh, older than Booker.
Oh, wow. Okay.
All right, so call him a veteran. He's a veteran.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kyrie Irving.
Older than Kyrie.
All right, you got me.
Steph.
Of course.
I took Steph.
Of course.
Giannis went second.
Makes sense.
And Harden went third, which was shocking to me.
Harden's tough to play with in those games.
Not easy.
Because Harden in real life is very difficult to manipulate and master into the video game form.
Right. The way that he moves, the way that he does stuff is not easily translatable to the
game. Yeah.
Whereas like Steph Curry, it's like you pulled him off of the court and shoved him into the game. It's like the same. I didn't pick Kawhi, who's my current favorite player in the NBA. I didn't pick Durant.
Yeah, I can't believe you passed on Durant.
And I didn't pick LeBron.
Yeah.
So my five, tell me what you think of the five. It is Steph Curry,
mm-hmm.
Jamal Murray.
Going with the two-guard set.
Two-guard set. Harrison Barnes is my wing player. The last guy that I picked.
Yeah, I'm going to say yuck on that, but other people like Barnes more than me.
And then I've got Boogie Cousins. You're okay with Boogie?
Yeah, you go dominant in your first couple years, sure.
And then Jokic.
So you're playing big down low and good guard play up top.
Yes.
You've got the good makings of a good video game team.
It's not bad. And my bench is loaded with defenders. Like Mikal Bridges and Patrick Beverley and Andre Iguodala.
I hope they didn't do Mikal dirty like they did in 19. Now, I know he was a rookie in 19. He stinks in that game.
Oh, no, he's fast. He's got steals.
It's
he's
annoying. Got
I know, and there's no reason. Who would you have taken it for? You would have taken Durant?
I would have taken Durant, yeah.
You know why? I use the point guard 90% of the time.
See, that makes sense. I do a lot of dribble, drive, kick to the corner, shoot the three.
I live on the screen and roll. So from NBA 2K12 on, I played Russell Westbrook because he was broken. And then the only choice was, do I want Dame or do I want Steph Curry at this point?
Fair enough.
Analytics won out. 6-1-0.
You're going to get some shooting off that too.
Yeah, you are. 610-632-0975. Hey, listen, if they're going to televise people playing video games, you guys can tolerate 3 minutes of me talking about them. It is the Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Joe Torti on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back. Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. We're hanging out until 10 o'clock. I thought Sal and Mike had an interesting conversation regarding the return of sports versus the maintenance of social distancing and stuff like that. Ty, would you get to hear that? You get to hear most of it?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. I
thought it was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll revisit that at some point here, because it does kind of sum up what we're talking about and what, you know, the whole discussion is surrounding what our next steps are and what is the role of sports in the recovery process and everything else. Like, I am fascinated by the fact that the NBA, I would argue that the NBA made people start to actually pay attention, right? Like, made people start to really actually take what was going on seriously. Because if Rudy Gobert doesn't do his stuff, you know, we don't, A, learn about how, you know, the virus actually spreads, and then the NBA doesn't shut down. And if the NBA doesn't shut down, then there's a large percentage of people that just are like, okay, well, whatever. This is just a thing that's far away and it's not affecting us. And it could have been way worse, right? It could have been way worse.
That's really, it sounds horrible and selfish to say that. That's how I think a lot of us felt. Like, it's still in other countries. It's not here yet.
Right.
Then the NBA shut down. It was, whoa.
Yeah.
What just happened?
It was a wake up call. 100%.
We were mid Sixers post game when we got the news.
Mm-hmm.
And it got to the point where it was like, you know, we did part of our post game show, and it was, you know, Sixers beat the Pistons, recap, stats, all that good stuff. And then we came back and it was, well, the news is the NBA has suspended the season.
Right.
And there was just this somber, I was here, Devon Givens was here, we were just kind of in this weird, like, holding pattern. We were just so, everything changed. It was so somber all of a sudden.
Well, because, I mean, what happens in the third quarter doesn't nearly carry the weight.
Right.
You know, that it did before, because everything's getting shut down. I remember doing shows where, you know, we were talking about the Ivy League and their decision to cancel the Ivy League tournament. And the Ivy League was the first amongst the college basketball divisions to can their conference tournament, and they got backlash from me too, but, you know, lots of other people as well, talking about how it was an overreaction and things like that. Turns out the smartest people in the world are still the smartest people in the world and saw it coming and were ahead of the curve and everything else. One domino fell after another, and kind of here we are. I do wonder what would have happened, though, if, because I'm just going to be honest, I know that there's a large percentage of the country that just doesn't watch the news. I know that there's people that aren't reading newspapers, that literally they, you know, wake up, they do their jobs, they go home, they watch sports, and that's the way that things go. It took like an interruption in our lives, the NBA, March Madness, whatever it is, that got people to perk up and actually pay attention. I'm not saying that the government was influenced by that in any way, because I believe that the government would have put out these directives and stay in place and shelter at home and self-quarantine, all that other stuff, based on what the scientists and the disease specialists are telling people. But I think it's fascinating how much more seriously we take it when it comes into the living room. And Elbow Shaferi tweets in, if it wasn't Gobert, it would have been someone else within a week. Right. Like, based on what we know about the infection and the virus, yeah. Like, if someone in the Jazz locker room had it, or in any locker room, it would have been somebody else. So, I mean, it is something.
Is that bad on us?
What do you mean?
That it took, for a lot of us, it took what now we can kind of view as secondary, as enjoyment, instead of what we process as, you know, one of the most important things in our lives. Is that bad on us as a society that it took it getting into sports for us to really understand what was going on?
I don't think so. Only because, like, I would agree with the premise, but without getting political or anything like that, it seems that the information regarding the virus was, and the effects and the communicability and everything else was deeply incomplete. You know, and in some cases, it seems intentionally so. So it would be one thing if there was a super malaria that everyone saw coming, and we're like, ah, screw that, that's over there, and it's not a big deal, and, you know, then sports come in, and it's like, really, you're going to pay attention when it happens in sports? But, like, there was no reason to believe that, for example, this was a super malaria, according to, you know, what reports were coming out of China and everything else, you know? Like, the way that I look at it is, if there were more complete information, I'm not saying that everyone would have paid attention. It still might have taken an interruption, like sports or something like that, but then that would have been really our bad.
There's more completed information now, and people aren't paying attention to it.
You think so?
I think so.
Well, not that there's more complete. Of course there is. But you think that there are people that are not paying attention to this?
All right, so not to say they're not paying attention to it, because everyone's life has been affected by this in one way or the other. From the lowest of points where, like, the simplest of, okay, you're working from home.
Right.
If that is your biggest, like, worry, is that you have to find a way to work from home, things are going really well for you.
Yes, I agree.
But on the flip side, things could be very, very bad. Right?
Of course. Yeah,
so
it is for a lot of people.
I think the people that are the, well, this is really impacted, I have to work from home, I can't go out, can't see my friends. Those, I don't know if everybody feels so locked in. I feel like there are people that are not locked into this. And I feel like that's the reason why this thing's going to go on longer than it probably should.
Hmm. Interesting. So without putting words in your mouth, there is a gradation of different levels of which people are concerned about this, right? Like, not necessarily how seriously they're taking it, but the lengths to which they will go in order to make sure that they are taking literally every precaution, versus, you know, people down to just, you know, I'm going to wash my hands more or whatever.
Correct. Right? I think that the quicker that we can all get on board with doing absolutely everything we can, the quicker we can get sports back.
Mm. That's interesting. Because the other side of it, obviously, that I would say that not people that are going on spring break at the beach. You know, to some degree, the people are either morons or beyond help or whatever, you know, like that. I'm not talking about those people. I think that some people are just thinking, you know, like what Dabo Swinney said, you know, this is country that put man on the moon or whatever. There's going to be a vaccine. There's going to be a treatment, you know, you stay the course.
Of course, that's the solution.
Yeah, I don't think that there's as much of a divide is what I think that it's like people approaching it from two different ways. One side is saying we have to do absolutely everything possible. Well, that's probably true. And the other side is saying, well, once there's a vaccine or a treatment or whatever, then it's going to end up being that not a big deal that we thought it was at the beginning. That's probably also true. Like, if a vaccine's widely available to everybody, all of a sudden the risk and the threat goes way down.
Sure. And I always come back to that thing that's going around right now, and it says, you know, when you'll never know if you did too much,
right,
to get ready for or to help prevent this thing, because you'll look back 20 years and go, wow, that was not, you know, we really did a good job of taking precaution. You will know if you didn't do enough.
Yeah.
That's my concern.
That'll become apparent in a hurry. You're absolutely right about that.
So that's kind of where my concern lies. If you as an individual, and I don't mean you, I mean everybody that's listening, and you and I, if we can all come to terms and say we're going to do everything we possibly can to shut this thing down as quickly as possible by taking all the preventive steps and measures,
right?
Then when we look back on this 20 years from now, we're not going to say we did too much. There's never no such thing as too much.
Do you think that that is realistic? Do you think that it is realistic to get enough people on board that, you know, you don't?
I
also don't.
I don't believe so.
I also don't.
I think that there are certain people that won't adhere. There are just people that are stubborn.
Well, and I would argue, too, that those people are definitely existing. There are some people that literally can't. There are some people that, like, they have to, if they don't work, they don't eat and stuff like that. And they have to be that.
I think work is fine. If you got to go to work.
We're here.
It's the extracurricular activities.
Yes.
It's don't go get 15 of your buddies together and play basketball. It's don't have a house party.
They're literally, I don't know what it's like in your neighborhood. There's like caution tape around all of the jungle gyms.
Oh, I'm sure. Not a surprise.
Because people are not getting the picture. 610-632-0975. Be right back with more after this. Maybe in the 8 o'clock hour at some point we'll hear from Sal Palantonio with Mike, who I thought they had an interesting, spirited discussion on this. Plenty more goodies on the other side. Tyler Zulli's producing. This is the Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.